Welcome, everybody.
Joining
us on another episode of Interesting AF. We're really excited because this is the first one where we're actually published. So yay us.
Yay. Also, we have our voices back.
Yay. And we're not
jinxed us, but
yay. We how long will this last? maybe we should start polls. How long will it take them?
Over under on how long it'll take before we're sick again.
And why? I feel like the why is important.
And with what?
Though, with what? To be fair, most of the time we don't know with what.
Accurate. But like, go to is it going to be pop? Is it going to be sinuses? Is it just going to be generic cold?
Fair. Those are great. Like, I love my pediatrician, but every time I go, they're like, it's a virus. I'm like, which one?
No shit, Sherlock.
Sorry,
I love the medical community. I would never disparage them like that.
No. But like, it's true. I mean, they can only like, it'll get like really, we work in that general like vicinity. And we understand that testing for everything sucks and you can't test diagnose and stuff like that. But still, it's like, with which one?
Yeah. Be more specific. Or just give me the drugs to fix it immediately.
Exactly. Right now. Although they'll be like, well, with a virus.
No, I don't care. Make it, then get like, give me something bacterial so I can just knock it out of my system. Please and thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Can the kids start giving us – no, wait. We got pneumonia the last time. No, I'm good.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
How about nothing? I just choose nothing. We have had some beverages before this, so just
– this is also what we drink to combat, you know.
Yes, it helps.
Combat our illnesses.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast that's now published. Sorry, really excited about this. Also really nervous. Also, yes. I'm going around the house telling people to not talk to me like that because I'm a podcaster now.
Someone has to have a shirt made of like, let's go straight to Etsy. Someone's got to have that. Don't talk to me like that. I'm a podcaster.
Anyway, so today we are kind of continuing our regular episode where last time we had our episode about the doc is in, and that was Spider-Man of Paris. Go back. That was a great episode. Oui, oui. Très bien.
Is très bien.
What they say afterwards. Très bien. and we today are going to be talking about, we figured the next episode would be great to talk about how we maintain friendships, relationships, because we saw a great recap article from the Wall Street Journal, because obviously we're nerds, about how long it takes to form a close friendship. And that we thought that was an interesting topic. And we'll of course put the link and the link to the study around this. But yeah, I thought that would be, you know, we thought that would be a great topic to chat about and to see how long, you know, you feel like we felt close relationships and close friendships and even close workships. I think there's a lot of workships, and no, I'll start us off because then I did the math. You know, this article said that it takes about 200 hours to create a close friendship. And I worked it out, and it said that comes to about 8.5 days. And so that's a long time. I mean, if you're seeing somebody for an hour every week is building a friendship. That's why in the beginning, I think friendships seem kind of awkward because you're trying to create these close friendships, but it's an hour at a time. And so I found that interesting. And that's why kind of Elaine and I were talking and saying that's why work friendships become so close so quickly. So you literally see these people for a long time. You only need to see these people for 2 weeks and that's it. Right? Yeah. 2 weeks and it's a close friendship if you're talking to them enough. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit there. Though we were colleagues for a while, and I think our friendship really bonded through our kids, like us freaking out about our children, which I feel like that bonded us much faster, much quicker than maybe something else would have.
Yeah, and considering it took me about 200 hours to figure out how the fuck to sign up for maternity leave because no one in the third party company that we use for short-term disability could answer any of my questions. Yeah, that definitely fast-tracked us from colleagues to friends because
yeah,
work-wise, like we never worked together. Like we were in the same office space, but our trajectories and our, you know, what we do for work and the topics we cover is just not like there's at no point shall these twain meet. So
indeed.
So I think that's it's funny to think about like what was the thing that was the catalyst, right? And for us, it was me freaking out about maternity leave and you being wildly open and help like ridiculously helpful. That I was like,
and oh, also
I want her around.
To be fair, most of my answers were like, what the fuck do I know? Like, I think this was okay.
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is my people. She my people.
Yeah.
She gets me. She gets me. Smart. Tweet.
Tweet. Tweet. Indeed. Still one of the best episodes of that show. God bless. Oh, the best. RIP.
Yeah. No, it's so funny too. Like even thinking about 200 hours sounds like a long time, but then I start thinking about how long I've been out of college and
la,
even
la, la, my no, friendship. Close your pretty little ears.
But how long we've been out of like high school and my friends that I've had since freshman year, I have two childhood friends that I've known for over 35 years. Like this 200 hours feels like nothing when you've spent your whole life with some of these people. But at the same time, it sounds like a lot because it sounds like a lot of time to invest. But, and I think an important thing, which certainly one of my thoughts that we can get into later is like knowing how and when to invest the time. And like, you don't have to overthink it. It just kind of happens naturally. But like what happens in terms of when we talk about more like the maintaining side is there are going to be times where you're just kind of have to say, listen, I really liked this friendship. We were super close at one point. Sometimes you drift apart and then sometimes it just becomes a one-way street. And so like for me, I was thinking a lot about things like that when this topic came up because again, 200 hours sounds like a lot and also nothing when you think about it in the context of we've known each other for 6 years now.
Yeah.
That's more than 200 hours.
Way more than 200 hours. But then I don't think we like were hanging out for 200 hours for it to either, right? I think there's obviously always this need and want to quantify things. We really want to like quantify things. And for example, I have friends that I see maybe once, twice a year, yet we're really close. We talk about really deep things. We talk about really, because I think motherhood, your different phases in life afford you, I think, different closeness and different types of relationships, right? So for example, I am not the one that's kept friends for a long time, only because I've moved from place to place and you kind of lose before we had like WhatsApp and emails and things like that. So, and I'm usually pretty good at keeping in touch with people, but after a while, like it's really hard when you move from place to place, from school to school. So I've really had a hard time doing that, but I can say without a doubt that every phase in my life, I had really close friendships and I wouldn't say that I had 200 hours with them. I do say that it takes work to maintain friendships and workships and relationships and work relationships as well. But I think when we think about time, it really is sometimes the quality of how which you are spending that time with somebody. You know, in the article and in the study, they talk about the quality matters, right? So if you're spending 200 hours watching a movie with these people, like if you're movie buddy or your show buddy or whatever, you know, you're not really going to be forming super close friendships with them.
Right.
But if you're talking to them, you know, having chats, going to dinner, doing activities, I think that's a different quality of time. And I think it's okay to have different types of relationships. I had friends that were just, we went out to have fun at the time, right? So I think those are the things that you have to be okay with. I think there's also these types of articles. We have so much data, it's freaking us out a little bit.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, like a show buddy, a movie buddy, like you're not getting to know that person. And even though you might be, like you said, spending a lot of time with them, like if you're not talking to them, yeah, you might talk about the movie afterwards or whatever, but like, are you really getting to know them? And who knows? Like, again, that could be the catalyst where you move from saying like, hey, I know we really like going to movies, but like, let's go grab coffee or let's grab a drink afterwards or dinner or whatever. And this is, I'm gonna throw out a callback to our last main episode on the third place, right? Like going to a place like that, you can really start spending a lot of time with people. You go spend 2, 3, 4 hours hanging out at a coffee shop, at a nice dinner, at the pub. Like you could really log in some of those hours and not even like, I don't even, that's not, this statistic of 200 hours is nothing I ever would have thought of before you brought it to our attention. Honestly, like sometimes I don't even realize how close I've gotten to somebody until I've gotten really close.
Until I go, oh, I should send this to somebody. And then you're like, oh, crap. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like when you realize they have the same, I think it's about like things, right? Like the second they kind of touch a part of you that you wouldn't necessarily thought of, I think. Like, for example, the both of us, when we realized we have the same type of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that I think opened up so many options there that was like insane, right? Because you could send memes and you could send things and you could just joke with people and it becomes a whole different ball game.
We also knew like that to, I completely agree. And I think that was part of like the line crossing, and I don't mean line in like a bad way. I actually mean it in a good, right? Like you say crossing the line that typically has a bad connotation, but with us, yeah. Like we realized we had a similar sense of humor, but as we continued to push that, we realized like how similar our sense of humor is. And like you and I can send each other, like you and I will tell each other we're having like a real shit day and we will send each other the most inappropriate thing where I don't know really any, maybe outside of my husband that I could push that boundary with like as much as you and I can.
I think one of our
amount of self-deprecation, like I know, like I would only send you this one thing because anyone else would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, there have been moments during the year where I was like, if this ever gets leaked, it's not going well. Like, I think there's a series of things that I only send you. Like where it gets dark, because I think the algorithm finally gets it. And it's like, ooh, that's
not this is a dark sense of humor.
Dark sense of humor.
Dark sense. Nothing. But listen, guys, nothing that would get us canceled. Trust me, we are very compassionate people. But like
sometimes,
I'm gonna throw it out there. The submarine stuff. Like there were some memes, but it was nothing that wasn't already out in the ether. Okay. Yeah. All right.
But we laughed, and that's why.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I really, this is like totally sidetracking, but like I really miss the Suez Canal memes from 2020.
Those were the best.
Those were literally the one that talks about like me in the middle of the night with a cold where like one nostril's completely blocked with a picture of the come on. Deceased.
And we have so many sinus problems that spoke to us in a very specific way.
But then you just flip over to the other side, and then the other nostril becomes the blocked one. It's just, you know.
Exactly.
Story of my life. But it, yeah. God, I totally sidetracked us. However.
That's fine. The Suez Canal memes were great.
They were fucking gold. But yeah, sometimes you don't even realize. And like, you know, I think it's interesting to bring this up because you don't have to consciously think about how much time you're spending with somebody, right? Like if you want to be friends with somebody, be friends with them. And if you don't want to be, don't be. Like, I just, fuck politeness. I'm stealing that from my favorite podcast, now second favorite podcast.
Yes.
One of their major quotes is fuck politeness. I have it on a pillow. In my closet, I have a hand-drawn picture that says, here's the thing, fuck everything. Because you don't owe it to anybody. If anybody makes you feel uncomfortable, or if you're just not vibing anymore, I think I used that word right. Is that what the kids are saying these days?
I think so.
You know, if you've spent a lot of time with them and someone's clearly very interested and invested in you, like you don't just have to ghost them, right? Like there are ways to go about doing it, but like you don't owe anybody anything. If it's not healthy for you, don't do it. Like, I guarantee, as much as it'll suck to be like, hey, I'm really sorry, but like, I know we were getting along, but I just can't. Like, it's like a breakup, right? Like, you will feel better in the end.
Yeah. And I think that's another great episode, actually, that we can talk about, like, breaking up friendships, because I don't think we've been taught how to do that. We have not been taught how to break up friendships. Like, I think I've had like one or two like big friendship breakups, and they all ended so badly that like I didn't know how to deal with it. The other person didn't know how to deal with it. We kind of like, our friendship had run its course, and we weren't taught how to do it. Right. Cause I think there's a concept where, you know, you're taught kind of how to break up with a person when in like a romantic relationship.
We don't think about that in the same context. Nobody thinks about that in the same context.
No, you know? And I think that's, yeah, and it's, you know, I think for me, and this is my point of view, because when I like a person and I want to be friends with them, I'm very like into it. Like I don't want to say too much because I hate using that, but I'm like very like into it. I'm like, let's go do things. Let's go friend. Like, and I'm like, half of the time I'm like, just, if you don't like me, just tell me to fuck off. Like, I will give you the space that you need whenever you need it. But I will tell you that I sometimes have that fear that I'm like a little too friendly and a little too into it. And people are like, wait, like, is she okay? Like, she's kind of weird. Like, I mean, like, and that's me. We're all a little weird, but that's the thing, like, with me. And I feel like maybe that's if a person as extroverted as me is always like, oh, wait, most people are probably like, hey, wait, did this person want to be friends? Like, do you have to have the talk with somebody that they're your friend? You know what I mean? Like, hey, are we friends now? Are we close friends now? Can I do this? And I think there's always like moments where, like, again, like us, it was like being really vulnerable with each other, like as we were pregnant and having children, because Elaine was having her first child, I was having my second. And so it was like kind of like at similar moments. And so the vulnerability there, I think, was similar. And so you have like a really vulnerable moment where you start talking about really deep things. And so it becomes this kind of essence of forging a bond during a vulnerable time. And I think that becomes a very different example than being a friend, like a friendship. So like, in like using that term, but yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of times where I'm not sure, you know, if I'm like being too overly friendly and people like don't want me to be, and like have like, people like have their times and spaces. So I think that's always my struggle when I'm trying to make new friends, is like, is this too much? Like, because when I like somebody, I like them, and I'm like, I want to hang out with this person. I want to do things. I'll think about them. I'll like buy them gifts. I'm like, I love buying people gifts. It's like my thing.
Really good at it.
It's because I like, it's like Jack Donaghy says, gift giving is the strongest depression of friendship. So bath salts in a mug is not it. Not damn a- it. I should have put bath salts in yours. Damn it.
We have so many bath salts in this house.
But still, that would have been just
hysterical.
That would have been hysterical. Like, I would have posted bath salts
in my house because my husband is a marathon runner and I do long distance cycling. I just want to specify.
So bath salts in a mug is in.
Is in for us. There'll be a box that shows up from Amazon every couple months that, like, I'll go to pick up and be like, what the fuck is in this? It's like 20 pounds of fucking Epsom salt. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. This shit costs $3. We can't just go up the street and get it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's like, but yeah, I don't know. I think that's always the key. The key is always putting yourself out there. And it's like the friendship. I feel like romantic relationships, to a certain degree, you expect rejection. But when you're trying to be a friend with somebody,
yeah,
the rejection feels so much more personal.
Yeah.
Like somebody doesn't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And so, well, that's because like I told you, I think like I've had like really like relation, like friendships kind of like blow up in my face for like not my fault or like random reasons, but it's still like very much a very personal rejection. Somebody doesn't want to be your friend and it hurts. Like,
it does. Bad. And I think I know one thing that just talking about this and thinking about it, I don't think I was prepared for, like, sometimes it's not even about whether or not they want to be friends with you or not. You just drift apart and that can happen. And there have been a couple of friends of mine who I was super close to in college and just outside of it or just out of it. And like, we moved or our careers are so different or we were just at like they started having kids and I hadn't even met my husband yet. Like, so, and none of those are bad things. It just happens. And sometimes like you just drift apart with people. And so when we talk about like maintaining relationships, you don't have to have like a stranglehold on every single one, right? There are certainly ones that are worth fighting for. And listen, like, one of those relationships that I'm thinking about in particular, like anytime we hop on the phone, we pick up like it's nothing. Like we've seen each other every day for years. So it's not like, again, it wasn't anybody's fault. It just, it is what it is, which is a phrase that I actually hate. But in that case, it just is like, you know, so you don't have to, like, when maintaining relationships, you don't have to have this like stranglehold to try to like, you know, no grasping at straws, right? To try to, sometimes you're just going to drift apart with people and that's perfectly natural and it's perfectly fine. If it's someone that you really, you know, want to have in your life, great. Like maybe go the extra effort, but if it becomes a one-way street for the most part, like you can't exhaust yourself and you can't be putting one of the big things that my husband and I have always said from the beginning, and I've believed this before I met him, which is part of the reason we work, is relationships are not 50-50. They are 100-100. And there are days that I'm not going to be able to give 100. And so there are days where he might have to be at 120 or 150 and vice versa. But the same applies with friendships. Like there may be times where you're distracted, you're busy, and you just don't realize how much time has gone by. Like we talk about this in every episode, life is hard. And which is why you need friends and you need people to talk to. But like don't take offense if it feels like you're being ignored, because that may not necessarily be the case. And sometimes like you may just have to have a conversation with somebody. I have another, like one of my absolute closest friends, every once in a while, I'll be like, hey, how are you? And I'll be like, look me in the eyeballs. No. How are you? Because I know there's this sense where I kind of feel like, you know, like I'm grasping at straws sometimes, and just have to check in. And she comes right back because when I do that, she knows. She's like, oh shit, like I have not, you know, watered the plant that is our friendship, and it's not one that I'm willing to let die. So maintaining relationships is like, it's also going to be different in every single case. Some may not take much maintaining. Some may take a lot. Some may take more on one day and not as much the other.
And I also think, you know, whatever phase of life you are in, also that's going to change it. For example, I do know that I stopped talking to a lot of people when I had my kids. Right? Like, and it's, and it I'm, happened. And I'm a, I'm, I put effort in relationships. I know that they take time. But then there are some points where, like, some people I didn't really talk to that much because, you know, I would still say hi. I would still, you know, maintain it. Sure. And now the great thing about the technology that we have is that you can, it doesn't take that much to maintain a friendship for like a long distance one, right? Like you post things and people like message you and things like that. It's a great way to keep in contact with a lot of people that you wouldn't necessarily, right? So for me, I have a lot of friends that I know overseas, and that is a great way for me to like maintain contact. Like, what's up? Like one of, you know, our mutual Wordle friend, like, you know, yeah, we're constantly like chatting, but he's overseas, right? So with WhatsApp and Instagram and all these kind of Facebook and TikTok or whatever media, social media you use, I think there's a lot of things that you can create connections with people in ways that you don't necessarily think of and you didn't necessarily think of before. Because think about it. I mean, before we didn't have phones, we didn't have like stable cell phones, we didn't have texting, we didn't have all this stuff. And so you either stopped talking to people and you weren't their friends, or you did, right? So I think there's a lot of ways to stay in touch, but realizing that the friendship might change, right? So it all depends on the phase of life you are in. Because if you're moving and you're going someplace else, you're settling yourself, you're finding a new place to live, you're kind of getting your bearings, you're not really going to be focused on, you know, what you left, right? And then when you come back to kind of, you know, back to like your senses in a way, you'll be able to kind of think about the people you left. But I think there's a lot of ways to think about it and not be so hard on yourself. I think one of the things that I've noticed that I do a lot is I put more effort in friendships than others. Like you were talking about one-way street. I tend to one-way street people a lot. Because I think this comes back to the fact where I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm a little too much, or, you know, I kind of like maintain. And then at some point I'm done, right? Like it'll be longer, I think, for most people. But then at some point I'm like, well, this person doesn't really want to be friends. I'm out. Right. And then it'll be done. Very much my Gemini nature. When I'm over it, I'm over it. Right.
But I think it's okay. Something you just said a couple seconds ago, I think it's okay to admit or recognize friendships out of convenience, right? Like if you move a lot, if you are really close with somebody only because you worked with them for a while, like that's okay. Like friendships serve purposes, like you're saying, at different points. Relationships in general serve different purposes at different times in your life. And I think that also relates to you talking about, you know, when you started having kids, you stopped talking to a lot of people. And I think this will be a whole nother episode. There are just a few people that I stopped talking to after we had our son, just because they didn't respect boundaries, which is a whole different thing. We can save that conversation for another time.
And also it was COVID. So there's a whole different, like, there was like layers to that, right? It wasn't just, oh, they didn't respect boundaries. There was like there're layers upon layers to that one. So yeah,
that's true. That's very true.
I don't know, like the convenience thing, like somebody that you go clubbing with or somebody that you go to, you know, I think college friends were like that, right? There would be like one or two that were like really good friends, but then the rest would be like, you're going out to parties with them, or you're going, they knew people and all that. So I think that, that is, you know, friend, like, again, it's, we made this podcast, I think, because we realized the intricacies of how connecting to people and how maintaining friendships and work relationships and all that is hard. It's hard.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. It's why we drink.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, and it's like your family relationships take time. Oh, we can have another episode. You know, and I think that becomes a whole slew of just intensities that you don't realize. And it's, they give you a lot, right? Social, like we need we need human connection to survive. I mean, your brain needs it. Your heart needs it. I mean, there's so many studies around that the second you start, you know, not having close relationships, your health literally deteriorates. You get higher blood pressure, more heart problems. And so there is a thing about it physically having a thing in it, but that doesn't mean you need like 26 friends.
Right.
You can have one or two really good friends and still the same
thing. Absolutely.
If only life were so easy. If only. But as Glenn Doyle says, is that Glenn Doyle? Glennon Doyle,
yeah.
Glennon Doyle says, we can do the hard thing.
Yes, we can. Like podcasting.
Yes.
It's just hard.
let's just take a second here to just explain how proud we are of ourselves that we did this.
Yes.
That we are online now. And please, again, now you can email us and be like, this is awesome.
Do we like finally start working in our Instagram handle and our email address? Would you like to do the honors, Linda, of announcing?
Yes. So I'll give you the Instagram handle. I'll do the email. So our email is interesting.af.ladies@gmail.com. Because I know that one. I have to type that one a lot. Because I constantly forget our passwords.
Oh my God. Thank God for Google Drive. Seriously.
Thank goodness. trying to see here. And then our Instagram handle would be, I think it's interesting.af.ladies as well, right?
No, it's interesting_af_ladies.
See, I now see it. There you go. See, that's why you're just, there you go. So comment, chat, email, tell us what you think. And I think, you know, we're really excited about next year. I think we're going to record. No, this is our last one for 2024, I believe.
I'm still processing 2020. What the fuck?
The fuck. I mean, I mean this with the ferocity of
a thousand suns.
And a thousand suns. And the just anger that Scar had to like push Mufasa off that cliff. Nobody say 2025 is your year. Please. No.
Tiptoe. We're just going to tiptoe in. Like, just peer around the corner. Like, hey, what you got? What you doing?
Hey,
how you doing? Can we check in first?
It's thin ice. We're gonna step in very quick, quietly. Like, look where our steps are going.
Nobody's kicking the door down January 1st. We're just going to, like, little massage down the back. Be like, hey, let's just ease into this, okay?
Ease into this. Like,
just a little tippy toe. Little baby steps.
In here. So we don't lose our collective mind next year.
I feel like mine's gone.
I don't think I have any left.
No.
And I think it needs a year to like reprocess and like actually give me some sort of.
I just want one precedented time. Like, just some
precedented times.
Please. Fuck.
But I mean, it's probably not going to be... I don't know if you saw your latest alert, but there was like this hacking thing.
No. Been too busy watching all three Deadpools.
That's probably, is it, was the third one good?
Oh yeah. Oh, there is a Ben Affleck dig that you are going to love. I'm leaving it at that. I'm not even going to tell you who says it. Right. It is perfection.
Is it streaming already?
Oh yeah, Disney Plus.
All right, done. Though before we close out for this year, we know that we're next episode we're going to do the first two episodes. It's The Doc Is In and the first two episodes of This Is a Robbery, which I have to say. I said what?
I cannot wait to come up. Like, I haven't started our what the fuck meter graphic yet, but it's coming and I'm so excited to launch that on Instagram. So on Instagram, we've started posting. We'll have our regular little snippets on our regular episodes. We have like a separate logo for The Doc Is In. Very excited. We will show the covers. We will show some pictures, but we are going to put together. Linda is going to have her own what the fuck meter graphic. And so the last photo of every post will be that. So I cannot wait to hear.
God bless. And I know in a couple of episodes ago, we said that we were going to do back to back, but there has been a development in our plans where we were going to be physically together.
Yeah.
The podcast recording after this one with The Doc Is In. So it might be a regular episode, or I don't know what we're going to do, because we might be
roll the dice with that one.
Indeed. And if anybody understands that, then remember, we like a little bit more conversation and less action. I know.
I hate Elvis.
I've been listening. Oh my God. I will not let you know that I've been listening to a lot of Elvis recently.
That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'll tell the story someday of like just how he's haunted my life.
I'm sorry that he's haunted your life. My mom. Mentally,
emotionally, physically.
I'm so sorry, because the first movies that I remember, so I'm from a country that is not the US and not Europe. And we used to watch movies projected on walls, and we watched all manner of Elvis movies.
My grandpa, my Italian New York grandpa, was way into Elvis movies. So I've seen all of them. I've seen all the Elvis movies. I've seen every John Wayne movie under the sun.
I kind of know where this is going, I feel.
Well, but long and short of it, my dad thought it would be hilarious. On mornings where I had to wake up early and I didn't, he would come into my room with a boombox. Children, look it up. And he would blast Elvis music to wake me up. So, you know, like classic conditioning. I'm like Pavlov's dogs. I hear an Elvis song and I'm like, I literally want to crawl out of my skin.
I get that. Yeah. He was used for evil.
It has become a bit, like every birthday, I have an insane amount of Elvis collector's items, because every year for my birthday, my parents get me something, including my 18th birthday, where my mom put a life-size cardboard cutout in the halls of my high school of Elvis in a gold suit, and then had the principal call me down to the office so I could see said Elvis cutout in the middle of the hallway. Thank God I went to an all-girls school, because I would have been deathly embarrassed in front of the boys.
I would accept your opinion on Elvis, and I will never speak of him again.
No, you can speak of him. Just know I'm not a fan.
I respect boundaries.
Yes, you do. And I appreciate you for it.
Well, on that note, so we'll do This Is a Robbery, the first two episodes of that for next next podcast. And I, dear listeners, dear listeners, I have all the words all the time. I have almost no words. I don't know what I'm going to say during the next episode, because what? Well, thank you all for listening, and please share, like, or whatever people do with these podcasts. Do they like email them to people? I don't know. Whatever you kids are doing.
Like, follow, subscribe. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Like, follow, subscribe. Please. Of course, as always, let us know if you have any topics that you want to discuss. And I will let Elaine close it out.
Stay interesting.